From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesian President targets 7th rank at 2018 Asian Paragames. United Nations selects Indonesian representative as Central Emergency Response Fund advisor. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail.
Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, installed 9 governors and their deputies for the 2018-2023 period at the Merdeka Palace Wednesday. The governors are from South Sulawesi, North Sumatra, West Java, West Kalimantan, Central Java, Bali, Southeast Sulawesi, Papua, and East Nusa Tenggara. President Jokowi was accompanied by Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla and Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo during the inauguration ceremony. The newly installed governors and deputies are Nurdin Abdullah Andi Sudirman Sulaiman of South Sulawesi, Edi Rahmayadi Musa Sajeh Shah of North Sumatra, M. Ridwan Kamil UU Rujanul Ulum of West Java, Sutarmiji Rianurshan of West Kalimantan, Ganjar Pranowo Tazayasin of Central Java, and Iwayan Kostra Chok Uka Arta Ardana Sukawati of Bali. Ali Maji, Lukman Abu Nawas of Southeast Sulawesi, Lukas NMB, Clement Tinal of Papua, and Victor B. Lauskoda Joseph Nayesoy of West Nusa Tenggara. The governors and deputies were elected or re-elected during the third simultaneous regional head elections in 171 regions comprising 17 provinces, 39 municipalities, and 115 districts across the country on June 27, 2018. The number of eligible voters from the Pilkada. The number of eligible voters for the regional election 2018 reached 158 million, or some 80% of the total number of eligible voters for the presidential and legislative elections in 2019, which is some 197 million. After its success to be in ranked fourth in the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra, Indonesia is now preparing to compete again at the 2018 Asian Para Games, which will be held in Jakarta on October 6 to 13, 2018. Secretary of Youth and Sports Ministry Gatot S. Dewabroto, after the 2018 Asian Para Games coordinating meeting in Jakarta recently, said that Indonesia was targeting the top 10 positions at the 2018 Asian Para Games. The target was set by Indonesian President Joko Widodo based on the athletes' achievements at the ASEAN Para Games 2017 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and the 2018 Asian Para Games in Incheon, South Korea. Yesterday, Indonesia was successful at the Asian Games, which was previously targeted 16 gold medals, but it could grab 31 gold medals. Thus, it is same at the Asian Para Games. So after the Indonesian contingent for the ASEAN Para Games in Malaysia last year returned, thanks God, we were the overall champion. Then it was targeted by the president. There would be an increase in ranks from 4 years ago following the Asian Para Games in Incheon. In Incheon, our ranking was 13th. then the target of the president can be ranked 7th. In fact, we already have an estimate that it is not for the 7th, but the 5th. Furthermore, Gatot Dewabroto said that his party already had its own estimations and strategies that were a part of Indonesia's fourth intelligence. He revealed that the calculation and strategy referred to the supposed branches that Indonesia would favor in the Asian Para event. 2018 Asian Para Games will be participated by 41 national Paralympic countries with a total of 2,800 athletes, 1,800 officials and 500 media, both domestic and foreign. There are 18 sports that will be contested, including basketball, volleyball, fencing, table tennis, swimming, shooting, judo, cycling and chess. Indonesia's industry ministry has targeted to cut automotive imports by some $700 million in 2018 from the average import of $3.3 billion in the 2017 under the import control measures. Putu Joli Ardika, the ministry's director for maritime, transportation and defense equipment industry, stated on Wednesday that the import reduction target was the result of the government's policy to temporarily halt the imports of over 3,000 cc cars since the last 2 months when the rupiah had begun weakening. The decision to stop the imports of luxury cars was aimed at maintaining the country's trade balance. He said the imports of luxury cars were temporarily stopped. The industry ministry will further review the import license submitted to the ministry. The imports can be continued under some considerations, including the agreement for the manufacturer to increase exports and expand its business, he elaborated. He added that his party will check which cars will be included in the import control measures. The United Nations has selected Rahmawati Hussein as Indonesia's representative to be a member of the advisory group for the Central Emergency Response Fund, CERF, a UN funding mechanism for humanitarian emergencies. According to Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, and received by Antara on Tuesday, the appointment of an Indonesian representative as a member of the CERF advisory group demonstrate the international community's trust in Indonesia in the humanitarian field. It also reflects the international community's rising expectations from Indonesia to continue to play an active role in efforts to address the global humanitarian crisis. Hussein, an expert in handling humanitarian emergencies, has been working in the field of disaster management for over a decade since the Aceh tsunami in 2005. Through her work in the field of disaster management and humanitarian acts, she has contributed significantly to the promotion of Indonesia's humanitarian diplomacy. This contribution was demonstrated through her role as a member of the advisory group for the National Disaster Management Agency and as a member of the executive board of the Indonesian Humanitarian Alliance for Myanmar and Bangladesh, among others. The CERF Advisory Group was formed based on an agreement at the 60th UN General Assembly in 2005 through a UN resolution on efforts to strengthen the coordination of UN humanitarian emergency assistance. Indonesia expressed her readiness during a meeting between Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister A.M. Fakhir and Hong Kong Secretary for Labour and Welfare Lo Chi Kong to send caregivers to the elderly to Hong Kong. Fakhir noted in a statement on Thursday that Indonesia is ready to work closely with the Hong Kong administration to send caregivers to meet the demand in the region. Fakhir held a meeting with Chi Kong on Monday in Hong Kong. Chi Kong remarked in response to the statement that the administration will study the offer while also hinting at a possibility of opening job opportunities for Indonesian migrant workers already working in Hong Kong. Fakhir held the idea since having such expertise will increase the workers' salaries. According to Fakhir, Hong Kong has provided adequate facilities and protection for migrant workers, due to which it has become a popular destination for Indonesian migrant workers. However, the deputy minister has also expressed concern over the welfare of the Indonesian migrant workers in Hong Kong. Chi Kong has planned to pay a visit to Indonesia to meet his counterpart in the country, including the National Agency for the Protection and Placement of Migrant Workers, to discuss issues related to the protection of Indonesian migrant workers in Hong Kong. Attorney General H.M. Prasetyo said that the 31.1 Fugitive Capture Program, or TABUR, until the end of August 2018, has succeeded in arresting 154 fugitives. According to the TABUR 31.1 program, a total of 31 high prosecutor's offices across Indonesia must be able to nab one fugitive every month. The 31.1 Fugitive Capture Program has, until the end of August 2018, nabbed 154 fugitives in the national scope. It is said that the TABUR 31.1 program directly and clearly shows the seriousness of the prosecutor's office in completing the handling of general and criminal cases. Such achievements should be used as a motivation to work even harder in the future, he noted. Previously, the Attorney General Office Intelligence Team, in collaboration with the High Prosecutor's Office in East Kalimantan and the State Prosecutor's Office of Tenggarong, on Tuesday has arrested the convicts of corruption in the construction of the border gate of Kutai Kartanegara Balikpapan City in 2002, with the state loss reaching 1.18 billion rupiahs. The convict, Sugianto bin Sudarmadi, was arrested in Jakarta at 12:40 p.m. local time, according to the head of the Attorney General's Office Legal Information Center, MROOM, on Tuesday. Sudarmadi was sentenced to 4 years in prison and a fine of 200 million rupees for 3 months' confinement. The evacuation process of 7 illegal gold miners trapped in their own excavation hole in the village of Parit Tanjung, Merangin Regency, Jambi, on the third day was nil because the efforts taken were not effective. Jambi Province National Research and Rescue Agency's Basarnas Head Al Hussein said on Tuesday, the search and rescue team carried out water suction using a water pumping machine at the location of the victim's buried area, but the water debit has increased, causing water suction to be ineffective. The SAR team in the evacuation operation of the gold miners trapped in their own excavation pit consisted of SAR Bungo Rescue Team, 1 team, 9 people, 2 BPBD Merangin, the B Brimob, then B Banco 15, the Merangin District Police 15, and Kodim 0420 Sarko 15 people, and assisted by the local community. The miners in the village of Parit Tanjung, Renahda Subdistrict, are known to be searching for gold by a method of making excavation holes, which locals call a pinhole, with a depth of 30 to 50 meters. This illegal activity is very risky because they made a hole just below the Merangin River, one of the big rivers with rocks in the area. Hussein said the evacuation of the victim could only be assessed from the pinhole, but the pinhole had been covered by landslide and water. He added, based on the initial report, the miners who were trapped since Sunday amounted to 7 people. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here's commentary. Today, it is entitled The Third China-Africa Summit in Beijing. The leaders of China and Africa met to discuss the future of cooperation between countries of different continents. The meeting and discussion were held at the China-Africa Cooperation Forum Summit, taking place since Monday. The aim of the summit was clearly reflected in the theme, China and Africa towards a stronger future community together through mutually beneficial cooperation. Chinese President Xi Jinping, during the opening ceremony, presented a very persuasive speech entitled Work Together for Common Development and a Shared Future. Through his speech, President Xi Jinping stressed the principle of his country in cooperating with other countries, including not intervening in other countries that are partners and not enforcing any political conditions. A similar theme was also announced when Africa and China started the summit in Beijing in 2006 and followed up with the second summit in 2015 at Johannesburg, South Africa. China, as disclosed by President Xi Jinping, will carry out 8 major actions to help African countries for the next 3 years. One of the 8 actions is to encourage the expansion of African commodity imports and support the achievement of the 2030 African food security targets. For African countries, cooperation with China is certainly very welcomed. they may have seen that China is the main alternative to support the economic improvement and many more. As one of the strongest countries in the world, the opportunity for cooperation with China gives hope for Africa as an alternative to Europe and United States. For most African countries, increasing relations with China could have given new hope because, unlike Europe, China was not a country that had colonized the continent. For China itself, the increase and expansion of cooperation in the economic and trade sectors has become a significant factor to find a balance of multilateral cooperations. The trade war launched by the United States, which was intensified by Donald Trump's administration, has given an economic impact to the country with the most population in the Asian continent. In this perspective, the Third China-Africa Summit in Beijing is a new moment, especially for China, in seeking a new balance in economic field nationally and globally. Well, listener, that was the commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. The first event is about Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX from Yogyakarta and Pakualam VIII, admitted that their sultanate are part of the Republic of Indonesia. The special region of Yogyakarta is the second oldest province in Indonesia after East Java, which was established by the government of Indonesian state. The province has a special status or special autonomy. The status is a heritage from pre-independence era. The Yogyakarta Sultanate and Kadipaten Pakualam or Pakualam Duchy is a pioneer of Yogyakarta special region, which was called Kuti by Japan. On August 19, 1945 in Jakarta, the Preparatory Committee for Indonesian Independence held a meeting. In the meeting, Pangeran Purboyo, a representative from Yogyakarta Kuti, asked the central government to bring 100% autonomy for Kuti. The Kuti's position was determined by the status quo until the law on regional government was formed. On the same day, President Sukarno issued a charter for the establishment of positions for the two throne rulers of the Yogyakarta Sultanate and the Kadipaten Pakualaman. On September 5, 1945, Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX issued a royal decree known as Amanat 5 September 1945. The contents of the decree were the integration of the Yogyakarta monarchy into the Republic of Indonesia. The decree with similar contents was also issued by Sri Paduka Pakualam VIII on the same day. Now we turn to another event about the death of Adam Malik, the third vice president and national hero of Indonesia. Adam Malik's career began as a journalist and independence movement figure. In his youth, he actively joined the national movement to fight for Indonesian independence, among others, through the establishment of Antara News Agency. In 1962, he became chairman of the delegation of the Republic of Indonesia for negotiations between Indonesia and the Netherlands on the territory of West Irian in Washington, D.C. His career as Minister of Foreign Affairs began in the Ampera I cabinet in 1966. In 1971, he was elected as chairman of the 26th UN General Assembly. He became the first and only Indonesian person as chairman of the UN General Assembly. His highest career
was achieved when he took office as Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia in 1978 until 1983. For his services, Adam Malik was awarded various awards, among others, the Mahaputra Star in 1971, Bintang Adi Perdana in 1973, and was appointed as National Hero in 1998. Adam Malik died in Bandung on September 5, 1984, at the age of 67. We end today in history for today's edition with the tragedy of Mandala Airlines that crashed after taking off in Medan, North Sumatra. Mandala Airlines plane flight RI-091 was a Boeing 737-200 aircraft owned by Mandala Airlines, crashed in Padang Bulan area, Medan, Indonesia on September 5, 2005. The accident occurred after the plane on a Medan-Jakarta flight carrying 112 passengers and 5 crew members after a few seconds took off from Polonia Airport, Medan. There were 100 killed and 49 people died on land, while 17 other passengers reportedly survived. Among the accident victims who died were the governor of North Sumatra, Tengku Rizal Nurdin, who planned to meet the Indonesian President and former Governor of North Sumatra, Raja Inal Siregar. There were also 2 Chinese citizens, a Japanese and a Malaysian nationals. Listener, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about Indonesian government tightens US dollar transactions in foreign exchange market. The currencies of several countries, including Indonesia, have recently continued to depreciate against the US dollar. The rupiah exchange rate against the US dollar touched the position of 14,800 per US dollar on Monday, September 3. Related to the condition, on the same day, Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a meeting with a number of ministers and institutional leaders at the Presidential Palace, Jakarta. After the closed meeting, Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said that the government was preparing a strategy to deal with the negative impact of the world economic turmoil, including the weakening of rupiah against the US dollar. Minister Sri Mulyani also said that the government, along with Bank Indonesia and Financial Services Authority OJK, will strengthen dollar transaction at foreign exchange market. Later, the transaction that is suspected of being acts of currency speculation will come under decisive action. Minister Sri Mulyani also said the 3 parties would formulate the policy in the forum of the Financial System Stability Committee. Minister Sri Mulyani moreover added, the government will divide the 2 types of foreign exchange market transactions activities, namely legal and illegal transactions. Legal transactions is US dollar request for raw materials, capital goods, and corporate debt payments. In addition, the government considers the demand for the US dollar in the foreign exchange market as an act of currency speculation. Tightening transactions in the foreign exchange market not only applies to ordinary business actors, but also to state-owned enterprises. Sri Mulyani gave an example. PT Pertamina Persero and PT PLN Persero needed to examine the import needs that could be delayed so that the supply of dollars in the foreign exchange market would remain available. Sri Mulyani did not deny that this was intended to protect foreign exchange. According to her, foreign exchange control is the only short-term intervention carried out by the government to safeguard the rupiah, which is dragged by external sentiments that never stop. Moreover, currently Indonesia's foreign exchange reserve have been depleted $13.68 billion a year in order to dispel the rupiah depreciation against the US dollar, which reached 9%. Meanwhile, efforts to strengthen foreign exchange reserve are not optimal due to widened current account deficit. Therefore, the steps that can be done in the very short term are to control from the side of foreign exchange needs. That was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo installed 9 governors and their deputies for the 2018-2023 period at the Merdeka Palace on Wednesday. The governors are from South Sulawesi, North Sumatra, West Java, West Kalimantan, Central Java, Bali, Southeast Sulawesi, Papua, and East Nusa Tenggara. After his success to be in rank 4th in the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang, South Sumatra, Indonesia is now preparing to compete again in the 2018 Asian Para Games, which will be held in Jakarta on October 6 to 13. Indonesia's industry ministry has targeted to cut automotive imports by some $700 million in 2018 from the average import of $3.3 billion in 2017 under the import control measures. The United Nations has selected Rahmawati Hussein as Indonesia's representative to be a member of the advisory group for the Central Emergency Response Fund, a UN funding mechanism for humanitarian emergencies. Indonesia expressed readiness during a meeting between Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister A.M. Fakir and Hong Kong Secretary for Labor and Welfare Lo Chi Kong to send caregivers for the elderly to Hong Kong. Attorney General H.M. Prasetyo said that the 31.1 Fugitive Capture Program, or TABUR, until the end of August 2018, has succeeded in arresting 154 fugitives. According to the TABUR 31.1 program, a total of 31 high prosecutor's offices across Indonesia must be able to nab one fugitive every month. The evacuation process of 7 illegal gold miners trapped in their own excavation hole in the village of Parit Tanjung Merangin Regency Jambi province on the third day was nil because the efforts taken were not effective. Jambi Province National Research and Rescue Agencies Al Hussein said the search and rescue team carried out water suction using a water pumping machine at the location of the victim's buried area, but the water debit has increased, causing water suction to be ineffective. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's Citizen, we will introduce you to one of destinations in Yogyakarta, Pandan Sari Beach. Stay with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, Bantul Regency in Yogyakarta is located close to Indian Ocean, so no wonder if there are many beautiful beaches in Bantul. In addition to its wave and black sand, the tourism destination in Bantul, which is easy to be accessed, makes Bantul one of favorite destinations for tourists. One of them is Pandansari Beach. Listeners, Pandansari Beach is located at Patehan Village, Gading Sari, Sanden, Bantul. The beach is at the cluster of other beaches such as Goa Cemara, Samas, Pandansimo, and Kuwaru. The location can be accessed from Yogyakarta with the distance around 30 kilometers. It takes around 1.5 hours. Although the access to the location is quite easy, public transportation which can reach Pandansari Beach is not available yet. So it is better to drive your own car or rent motor vehicles. Listeners, the name of Pandansari is from coordination surrounding the beach. At the beach, there are many wild pandanus trees. Although the beach is not as famous as other beaches, the condition of the beach is cleaner and neater comparing other beaches around it. To visit the beach in the morning, you will see local people who are fishing at the beach. The tourists are also prohibited to catch fish, but they must be careful because its wave is big and there are also a lot of coral. Listeners, Pandansari Beach becomes the only one beach in Yogyakarta which has lighthouse. The 40-meter lighthouse has circle stairs which can be accessed until its top. Its name is Kalajivati Masti, which was built in 1996 and used in 1997 as a lighthouse for ships that sail at night. To enter in the lighthouse, one will be charged only 5,000 rupiah. Listeners, having been satisfied to play and see Pandansari Beach from the top of the lighthouse, you can take a race at the Pine Forest, which stretches out to fortify the beach. At the forest, you can also enjoy your meals or selfie with beautiful background. Those pines also create fresh situation. If visited when rainy season, those pines will have dense and green leaves, while in dry season, a leaf will fall out and leave brown twigs. Being inside this pine forest feels like enjoying the beauty of Javanese music. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Pandansari Beach in Yogyakarta. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Saya Mulai Membaik, or in English, I'm Getting Better. Stay tuned. Next, I will give you an example of conversation about Saya Mulai Membaik, or in English, I'm Getting Better. The conversation between Tony and Dinda at Joker's house. Tony is sick. Yesterday, he already took a doctor. Dinda wants to know Tony's condition.
Bagaimana keadaanmu hari ini?
Mulai membaik, walaupun masih lemas.
Masih sakit perut?
Sedikit, tapi saya sudah tidak bolak-balik ke toilet.
Syukurlah.
After the conversation, I will introduce some expressions related to the topic today. Saya mulai membaik, or in English, I'm getting better. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Bagaimana keadaanmu hari ini? Bagaimana keadaanmu hari ini? In English, how are you today? Mulai membaik. In English, I'm getting better. Walaupun masih lemas. In English, although I'm still weak. Masih sakit perut? In English, how about your stomach? Sedikit, tapi saya sudah tidak bolak-balik ke toilet. Sedikit, tapi saya sudah tidak bolak-balik ke toilet. In English, it's a little bit. The diary already stopped. Syukurlah. Syukurlah. In English, thank God. To ask someone who is sick, you can say, bagaimana keadaanmu hari ini? There are some expressions to answer the question. Saya merasa semakin sakit. Masih sama seperti kemarin, masih sakit. Mulai membaik, masih sedikit sakit, tetapi lebih baik daripada kemarin. Saya sudah sembuh. Saya sudah sehat kembali. In the dialogue, you've listened Tony said the word bolak-balik. Saya sudah tidak bolak-balik ke toilet. In addition to the context, the word bolak-balik can be used in another context. For example, fotokopi dokumen ini dibuat bolak-balik agar menghemat kertas. Fotokopi dokumen ini dibuat bolak-balik agar menghemat kertas. Or in English, photocopies of this document are made back and forth to save paper. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Bagaimana keadaanmu hari ini?
Mulai membaik, walaupun masih lemas.
Masih sakit perut?
Sedikit, tapi saya sudah tidak bolak-balik ke toilet.
Syukurlah.
Now I will give you an exercise by mentioning the name, profession, the place for work, the day, office hour, and etc. For example, nama saya Andi, saya seorang wartawan, bekerja di Surat Kabar Sinar Pagi. Waktu bekerja saya hari Senin sampai hari Jumat dari jam 8 sampai jam 4 sore dan jam istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1 siang. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. For today's edition, I'll bring you some beautiful pop songs by Hanindia. Hanindia Chitaningtyas, or better known with Hanindia, is a young singer who was born in Bogor on February 21, 2001. To initiate the segment, I will dedicate a song entitled Asal Kau Bahagia. The song was previously popularized by Armada Band. Generally, the song's musical arrangement of Hanindia is slightly different from the original version. There is only difference in music accompaniment. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Asal Kau Bahagia by Hanindia.
Yang kemarin ku melihatmu, kau bertemu dengannya. Ku rasa sekarang kau masih memikirkan tentang dia. Apa kurangnya aku di dalam hidupmu hingga kau curangi aku? Katakanlah sekarang bahwa kau tak bahagia. Aku punya ragamu tapi tidak hati. Asalkan kau bahagia. Yang ku rasa sekarang kau masih memikirkan tentang dia. Apa kurangnya aku di dalam hidupmu hingga kau curangi aku? Katakanlah sekarang bahwa kau tak bahagia. Aku punya ragamu tapi tidak hatimu. Kau tak perlu berbohong, kau masih
the song Asal Kau Bahagia by Hanindia. The song is part of her first album entitled Cerita Hanindia, just released on March 30, 2018. The album consists of 11 songs. Two of the songs, such as Pupus and Asal Kau Bahagia, are recycled songs. For Hanindia, the first album was proof of the darkness addressed to her. Listener, coming up next, we'll present the next song, Bukan Untukku. The song tells about someone who is broken-hearted for the betrayal of the lover. Although the lover wants to recover the relationship, the man refuses it and chooses to live separately. Listener, here is Bukan Untukku by Hanindia.
Semudah itu kau tulis kembali kisah cinta yang berakhir luka. Hadirmu tak mungkin ku sambut lagi karena ada dia di hatimu. Dulu kau yang pergi meninggalkanku. Kini kau kembali tawarkan berjuta mimpi. Pergilah, cintamu bukan untuk padanya. Tak perlu lagi kau ungkit cerita, biar berakhir di sini. Ku relakan kamu dengan dirinya, dengan dirinya. Hadirmu tak mungkin ku sambut lagi karena ada dia di hatimu. Dulu kau yang pergi meninggalkanku. Kini kau ke
in 2018 celebrating her 17th birthday began to be known to the public since 2014. At that time, Hanin followed a singing talent contest event held by a national private television station. Han India also succeeded in becoming the second winner in the event. Then she often greeted Indonesian people with various videos uploaded on the YouTube channel. Thanks to her singing talent, Han India has had 1.7 million followers on her YouTube channel. Well, listener, to conclude the music corner for today's edition, let's enjoy the last two songs entitled Pupus and Yang Terbaik by Han India. Happy listening and see you tomorrow.
Rindu yang tak pernah begitu hebatnya. Aku mencintaimu lebih dari yang kau tahu. Meski kau takkan pernah tahu, aku persembahkan hidupku.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Thank you. untuk merelakanmu pergi. Sesungguhnya ku sesali, mengapa terjadi dikala cinta terlanjur berlabuh di dalam hatiku. Kadang ku tak mengerti akan artinya cinta jika harus berakhir menangis dan terluka. Biarlah ku jalan.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia Time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.